Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
If there be someone with us this morning that has not fallen in love with the words of this book, I can invite you even this hour, when you feel led, you come down here and ask God to forgive your sins. You don't have to wait for the invitation. I'll tell you, we're going to have an invitation, the Lord willing. But on the other hand, if you feel led to come to this altar, come. That's the time to come. Don't listen to Satan. He's going to tell you no. In recent years, and not too long ago, talking with one of my acquaintances, I was kind of giving him a little bit, trying to lift his spirits up a little bit, talking to him about God's Word. And he said, "As old as you are, you're still preaching the Word?" I said, "Every opportunity I get." Others have asked me, says, "When do you think you're going to retire?" The book does not give us any instructions about retiring. A man that's called of God is called for his lifetime. I've been in the company of some youngsters who were called by their mothers and their fathers. They wanted them to be a preacher, a dignified preacher. "Son, I can just see you now in a church with about 5,000 or 6,000 people. They're going to pay you $500 a week, furnish you an automobile, a place to live." That's God's business. He will furnish our needs when we're called to Him. Others I've talked to, I said they were grandfathers with a preacher. They want to be just like their grandfather. Now, I have a grandson sitting back there on that last pew, and he's told me he wants to be like me. I tell him, "No, don't be like me. Be like I tell you to be." Just like the Word of God. But old preachers are really soon forgotten. They fade away. Do you realize that any of us, when we reach into our elderly age, we can die before we're pronounced dead physically? I believe that. One of the contributors to that, I think, is TV and a soft couch and a rocking chair in your room. I mean, I'm absolutely true. It's surprising how many fellas can't even get up and get them a drink of water. I praise God. I can get up and get myself a drink of water, and I'm proud of it. Not only that, I can make myself a biscuit if I have to. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you, I'm boasting for the Lord. He's the one that does that. But our role has been clearly defined, I think, in the Bible as senior citizens. As old preachers, if I might add. In Psalms 90, in verse 12, God says, "Teach us." God says He should teach us the number of our days. That simply means count one day at a time. If your numbers come up 100, they come up 500, and so on and so forth. Be proud of the fact. Don't be ashamed of it. Our time is to fulfill God's mission every day. Second, I think that the Bible teaches us we're to pass the torch on. We're to live in such a way that our children and our grandchildren want to be like us. I have two precious granddaughters, and I believe their last request might be they wanted to be just like grandmother. Well, of course, they can't be that way. You know that as well as I do, but there that she had lived in such a way that she was idolized by others. That's the way we should be. When we reach our senior citizen, gray hair shouldn't mean a thing in the world. Right. Except that we live so long. Thank God every day.
Yeah.
Bible tells us that we are to hold on to all of our biblical teachings, the values. And the church is, don't forget the church's mission in life, what the church is. The church in itself is a mission for God. Some people refer to the church, especially when they're talking about, you tell them you're a Baptist, they're about ready to give in and run away because that scares them to death. Anyway, they think that you are about ready to pass away anyhow. But anyway, they forget all about what our mission is. The Bible is the ultimate truth. The Bible says that God is truth. We must continue in the meaningful part of a local church. That's where we fail many times. We begin to put on gray hair. We begin to not feel as well as we did 10, 15 years ago. Our church members across the street, up and down, somewhere down. But I don't feel like going this morning. You know, they don't care anything about me being up there. I tell you, that's the first thing that we looked for when we moved into this area was a church. Now, I'm going to tell you this much. They're hard to find that preaches the Word of God.
Amen.
You can't just draw straws and get it. I'll tell you, you have to get out and beat the bushes, so to speak. Faith, we should walk by faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Sometimes the fear has an effect on we senior citizens. We have a fear of not feeling good the next morning. We have a fear of perhaps a heart attack is soon to come. We lose our wife, especially, as I've experienced. And that has a drastic effect on some men. I can understand it has such a drastic effect. But it's not God's will that you give up. When you're called of God, you're called. He did not give you any temporary license just to preach. People go around, and I know this, they told me, have you been licensed? I said, yes. When was it? I said, the day I was called to preach. That's exactly what it all amounts to. I welcome those who are seeing us this morning and hearing us on the line. I certainly welcome you in the name of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our scripture this morning is found in the book of John. If you will turn there to the third chapter, let us begin our reading in verse 16. Let us read through verse 21. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, we are born physically into this world as a slave. When we're reborn, my friend, we're born free. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. We have a society this morning that's hiding from the Word of God for fear of what it might do to him. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They are wrought in God. Our precious Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to Thee this morning to express our gratitude and our love for You. Thou hast shown, Thou hast demonstrated Thy love for us, in so much that Thou give us the greatest gift man can receive. Thank You for the opportunity to speak this morning. Open hearts that they may hear and understand. Use me this day that I may be a vessel to someone. Lord, we not forget to pray for our families, our communities, the lost. We live in this great country and we only have a very few anymore to be called Americans. Sin has taken over, Lord, Thou knowest more so than I. I pray earnestly this morning, everywhere Thy Word is proclaimed with all of its truth, that there'll be many, many decisions made for Christ. Bless our military and our leaders of the military, standing in harm's way 24 hours a day. Bless these people for coming. Bless me as I make one more effort to serve You, because I ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
If you have not already guessed, the topic this morning is a little bit loud. We're going to use one verse, and that is the verse that has its Bible contained within itself. It has been referred to as the Bible in a nutshell. I'm talking about John 3:16. For God, who are we talking about? There's numerous gods. I would venture to say that every grown person has a god of some sort. As we grow, our gods increase. We begin to add more and more. Pretty soon, we're just almost loaded down with gods. But we've forgotten the most important God found here in this book. For God so loved, the greatest lover has ever been known. Now, if you want to get a description of God's love, when you don't have anything else to do this afternoon, as if it was so leisure, but if you don't, we don't turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's love described to us. It's very plain, evident of what love is. God is the greatest lover the man ever knew. No one ever will be able to love like God. The book, the God of this book. Now let us look at the greatest degree. It's the largest scope. God doesn't just live in the believers. God doesn't just live in one church or the other church. The Bible says that He so loved what? The world. Now He loves that infant from the time he's born or she's born until the time she departs this world. It is His wish that she die in Him, not as a slave, but as a free individual. Where there is love, there's faith, and where there is faith, there's love. Simple as that. The Bible tells us that. The Word says it's better to have wisdom than gold. Man, I ought to be rich. And I am rich. Not because I've got the gold, but because I've got God in my soul. He loved the world, the greatest crowd that you could ever think of, the billions and billions of people. When this book was written, we know that the world was very small as far as population was concerned. He loved every one of them, and then we begin to grow. We have millions and billions and billions of more people now, and praise God, He loves them all. He loves every individual. For God so loved the world. Our nature is to love one thing at a time. Isn't that true? We learn from our babies who crawl around on the floor. They either like a certain ball that bounces, or the girl sometimes a certain doll, cry if they don't get it, you know. In the grocery store, there's a very fine example. They come along and they're screaming at the top of their voice for a certain cereal or a Coca-Cola. They've never been turned upside down and kind of petted, you know. I'm going to spank you. No, I'm going to put it on you, boy. It get attention right there. It used to. I know you're liable to go to jail if somebody sees you. I understand it. But now what do you value in life? Nothing. You can't get by on that. It won't work. God's nature was to love the world, those who have been born again and those who literally are unborn, spiritually I'm speaking. Even those who are stupid, He loves. I feel like I was the most stupid person in the world till I found the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And when I look back on it, I said, the stupid things I did. My goodness, love. Now, I'm going to ask you in a minute, the most stupid thing you ever did. Thank you, Jimmy. He knows this old horse likes to drink water every once in a while. Reminds me of the fellow that sitting out in his yard and sitting down beside his horses. He's a farmer and he's letting his horses rest. Neighbor come by and says, "Say," says, "I see you're drinking a suds, a bottle of that old suds, good old beer." He said, "Yeah." He says, "Why don't you give your horse a drink of that?" He said, "Well, friend, just to tell you the truth, the horse has got more sense." Now that's part of our society today, you know. Some of our horses got more sense than we have. They just wait for a gee or a haw or a get up, a woo, point to really obey. We say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, He gave us instructions. He said God loved the world that He gave something. That's our mission in life, is to give, not to receive. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I haven't received anything lately, have you? Oh, yes, you have. I had strength this morning to get out of bed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makes me think of some of these hospitals where they're running over people in the nursing homes, the rehabilitation centers and so on and so forth with people. And if I can get up and have my coffee, I'm living, aren't you? Well, others ask, what could I do? Well, Brother Davis, what do you think I could do? Just follow the book. You do unto others as not as they do unto you, but yet you would have them to do unto you. Some of us, I'm sure you have, pinned up on the refrigerator a book of a little piece of paper or a book or something that's got in it, things to do list. That's your things to do list. Right here is the list. This thing is just full of request for his children to do. Not only that, but he's going to bless you every time you do something for him. I know from experience you can give, and the first thing you know, God's give you two or three times. Not in cash, but I'm not talking about cash. I'm talking about blessings. He giveth the greatest gift man can receive or has ever received, his only begotten Son. His only child. That brings on a big question. Anybody here that has children, most of us have, would you give your child up this morning? Would you do it? I don't have to wait for the answer. These heads are just... And I don't blame you. I've got one sitting back there. I wouldn't give him up. But I would sacrifice him for the Lord. That's what counts. That's exactly what he did. He gave us his Son by sacrifice. You know, when I think of him, I think of the cross, the tree. The Bible tells us about 30 different kinds of trees. But there's four important trees in the precious Word of God. To begin where in the Garden of Eden, we find the tree that they hide behind. That's where our friends, that's where our neighbors are this morning. They're hiding behind the tree. But God knows where they are. God is in charge of this universe. Muhammad is dead.
Right.
How would you like to walk in here this morning and find nothing but a stone image of somebody to worship? That wouldn't suit me. We have a living God. A living God. Praise God, He's alive. He arose. Thank God he arose. Our gifts are just very minor in this world. The greatest gift we can give is give ourselves to the Lord Jesus. We go all out at Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, so on and so forth. We spend a lot of money. Really, we spend too much. Do you know a large part of the gifts that we give are not satisfactory? People just ashamed themselves and won't say anything in the world about it. One of the hardest things I ever had to do was try to buy something for my wife. She never did want anything. She always said, "I got you, honey, and you're going to take care of me." That's the greatest gift that man can receive on this earth, is a precious wife. She's one that especially that comes from God. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for one reason. Whosoever believeth. It's simple. In fact, it's too simple. People really don't understand just how simple it is. You think, first thing that some people tell me, "Oh, I've got to be baptized." You know, in most churches, there's no such thing. They sprinkle holy water. There ain't but one place to get holy water, that's right here out of this well. But anyway, they don't require immersion. They call it baptism, but Jesus was taken under. I believe that's what we all should do. So much simple that a child can believe and receive. Peace, joy, happiness for life. And eternal life can be received by believing. Sometimes I think it's so simple and confounds people so much that they're so confused about things, they're depending on things of this world to satisfy them. And it does for a while, but pretty soon they've got to have a new toy, you know. Speaking of toys, I told Brother Gann over here this morning, it's the first time I've had a chance to view the new look. I told him if I'd have known that, I'd have brought my kitty car or a pair of skates, one, because it's a long way back there. Deep, deep, deep. Well, God is telling us in this precious word. He loves us so much that He gave us His Son, not just for the precious moment we receive Him, He becomes ours. And we become His. He was the greatest person, and greatest love would give nothing else except the greatest person. Great love as anyone, that one who's willing to lay down his life for another. That is love. L-O-V-E. Love. I read regarding ocean liner during World War II. About 1,200 people in total on board, I believe. They were sailing across the North Atlantic. And on board was about 600 soldiers. Included among the passengers was four spiritual leaders. Soon out into the ocean, a torpedo hit the liners, and of course, there's nothing left but it began to sink. As soon as it began to sink, they learned that there was not enough life preservers to go around. The four men of God got together. They had received their life preservers, but they got together and decided that it wasn't going to be able to save all the people, but they would be willing to give up their life preserver to some of those young soldiers. What a sacrifice. Really? The story says that they went down with the ship. My friend, before you can go down this morning, it's so easy to do. We need to look up. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believed Him should not perish. Should not perish. One of the greatest promises in the Word of God. One of the greatest promises we can receive. There's a great difference in promises we have today. People will promise you anything to get you money. They'll deliver nothing. You know, I heard pretty good final. I've got this week somewhere someone was talking, and I don't forgot exactly who it was and what. But they was talking about the things that's done in our society today and the things that are excused just like they didn't happen. For instance, we take a convict who has been convicted of a crime. The judge gives him life in prison. 10 years later, he's walking the street. That's not much of a promise. But the fellow I heard talking about, he said he believed that he ought to get them all together and have a rock concert. Because in the Old Testament, they stoned them to death. Everlasting life he's given us as the greatest possession. The greatest decision we can come up with this day, this moment, this hour, is our thoughts. Greatest decision is time for us to think. You know, sometimes we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, yet we never attend a prayer meeting. That's denying the faith. That's sin. We sing another song and says, "I love to tell the story." We never tell it. Much like we're ashamed of it. Listen, I'm one of the proudest peacocks you ever saw about my salvation. I believe we ought to advertise it. You know it says it pays to advertise? I believe that. We sing faith as a victory. Then we depend upon our own feelings to be led. Here you sing, have a little talk with Jesus. But we'd rather go around spreading gospel. That's life. So some people say. No, it's not life. That's sure death. Sure death. As I said earlier, some people die early. They die before they've been pronounced physically dead. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, my friend, you are dead according to the Bible. You're dead in your trespasses and in your sins. Don't you want to live? Wouldn't you love to live? Come on, Miss Sarah, and get ready for the invitation, please, ma'am. That's what life is all about. Life with Christ in our life. He is life. The invitation this morning is very simple, yet it might be confusing to some. First of all, I would like to mention the fact that anyone who feels here they know that they are lost without hope, they might want to come forward for salvation. There are others that might come and want to rededicate their life. Nothing the matter with that. Others might come and give themselves up as full-time service for the Lord. Any decision concerning you and the Lord is worthwhile. My closing prayer is that many will come, at least some will come. My mission here this morning is to try and help someone. Will you come as the organ is played?
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.